Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, that one guy who still has not watched Advent Children. And with me, I have...
Oh, sorry, I was just thinking of Hellshake Yano.
And...
Man, this pasta is so good, but it needs a little bit of salt. Where can I find some?
How about the Crunchyroll Anime Awards?
Obvious joke is obvious. By the way, I didn't watch any of that, but what won, like, best anime soundtrack? You know, or...
Best score
was Made in the Abyss.
Ah. Well, I do have Amazon Prime, so that means I can get around to watching that sometime. You know, once I finish watching the Best Picture nominees, at least.
You know, oh, yeah, that's coming up this week. Yeah.
It is going to be fun. Will it be as memorable as last year? Who knows? Get Out better win Best Picture, goddammit. But anyway, episode 70. And first off, fuck you, Alex.
What did I do?
You live in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is getting tour date appearances by both Baby Metal and Metallica.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You bastard. Meanwhile, hey, down me here, if I wanted to see Baby Metal, yeah. I had to get shafted with the Red Hot Chili Peppers as well.
Oh, maybe I'll get a chance to see them both this year. Who knows?
Good for you. So,
hey,
you
had to see Devin Townsend twice, or whatever it was.
It was only the one time.
Oh.
You obviously got to see him before I did. And I didn't get to go on the Colors tour either. But that's unrelated.
Yeah.
But anyway, episode 70. Yeah. How have things been going with y'all recently?
Pretty good. Been mellowing into the realm of unemployment fairly nicely. I got my last check from work, which I spent on fun stuff. Also saw Black Panther last week. It was awesome.
Finally.
Yes.
And fuck you, Ben Shapiro. You fucking asshole.
Please note, this podcast is anti-Ben Shapiro.
Pretty much.
And anti-nationalists.
Yes, we saw. We read the tweeters.
Yeah. And other than that, I've just been trying to keep cool because in my house, we got no central air. Our AC unit broke down.
Ew. Oh,
yeah, dang. And it's been a very hot week, but we're going to get it replaced tomorrow anyway, so that'll happen. And also, I have some perks being a Sprint customer. One such perk is Sprint has given me 6 months of Tidal for free.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the whole Tidal Sprint thing.
Yeah, because when Sprint bought a minority stake in them, yeah. So I've been trying them out, doing some experimenting. It took me 4 pairs of headphones to finally find a difference in sound quality. Also, Tidal, if you want more subscribers, tell them you have a full catalog of good stuff. More than just, you know, your exclusives. You might actually get more people to sign up that way.
So I've heard. You found all your favorites in there.
Well, everything but Metallica. And Baby Metal, conveniently enough.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Music contracts are weird.
Yes, they are. So, Mark, what about you?
It's been pretty much a normal man week for me. I mean, that big happened. Nothing happened since the last 2 weeks. It's like, it's been whatever.
Ah, one of those weeks. Yeah. Pretty much same here. I mean... Mostly just been, you know, the usual routine. I mean, I did play Knack this past weekend, which was okay, I guess. It's fun seeing him grow into a giant monster, but other than that, the novelty kind of wears thin fast. Oh, Mark Cerny. You should have come up with a better idea. Or at least a more varied one. Maybe if there was variety beyond just jump and punch things.
But on the other hand, now you're ready for Knack 2.
Wait, didn't that come out already?
I don't know. I only buy good games. Like the best Dante, Bayonetta.
This is true. Suck it, John and Tyler. Even when you guys reboot the training stage, you still talk shit.
Next Year actually came out in last September. So, like I said, you're now prepared for it. You know the lore of it.
Yes, the lore of relics that assemble into a giant thing, golem, whatever. Technology, bitch!
It will be the second coming.
Yes. Also, yesterday I watched Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which honestly is kind of bullshit. And I say this as someone who really liked Seven Psychopaths. That movie, fucking Three Billboards, if that actually gets the best Oscar, I swear to God.
Well, I think we know which it's going to go to.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of mixed things about that movie. I mean, if first I thought, it's like, it's that type of movie.
Well, yeah. I think we all know what all the wars are going to go to. It's going to go to Hank Hill's dog.
Hey, I see what you did there.
But really, it deserves to go to The Shape of Water because, well, fish are sexy again.
I know, right? Finally, ever since the original days of Yu-Gi-Oh, fish can be sexy.
Mako Tsunami would be proud.
Yes. But that's about everything on my end, so about time to move on into the usual shenanigans. So, of course, we start off with the new song discussions of the interesting songs we noticed from the past week or so. If you would like to follow along, we, of course, have the playlist down there in the description, wherever you're listening to this. So, listen to those songs, and then come back and hear our thoughts. Or just listen to all this blind, and then check out the songs later. Either way is fun. So, starting off from the top, the Melvins are a pretty busy group of people. They already dropped a double album last year, A Walk with Love and Death, which was pretty decent, all things considered. And, you know, obviously keeping up some touring here and there. But it appears they already have a new album, you know, already down the pipeline. A release coming out on 420, called Pincus Abortion Technician. And they've released the first single from the album, which actually has some very ironclad life advice. It is a song titled Stop Moving to Florida. Seriously, why would you people want to move here? Like, I understand being born here and having no choice but to live here, but why would you choose to move? It's like, have you seen what we have to deal with down here? It's not a fun experience.
I guess those old people want to move there?
Yes, yes. God's waiting room in more ways than one. But yeah, as for the actual song itself, it starts off with this kind of slow to mid-tempo, almost kind of like an Offspring punk style vibe, especially in like the guitar work and everything. And you know, it's pretty a fun thing to listen to, you know, as you're listening to this like weird, like almost kind of like garage surf punk weird thing. But then once it gets into 2 minutes, you get this kind of the more typical Melvin stuff, like this kind of heavy, somewhat slower triplet drum and bass groove with this weird slurred like spoken word shtick. You'll have like long periods of like just this weird rambling shit about, I assume, why you should not move to Florida. I don't know, I couldn't piece together coherent thoughts from it. And then of course like the thing comes in just to kind of break up the big tangents or whatever. It's all right, I suppose. It's more amusing than anything else.
Yeah, it's all enough. And speaking as someone who lives in an equally fucked state, North Carolina, I agree. Don't move to Florida. It's filled with psychotics, terrible weather, and alligators, along with terrible politicians. And along with Donald Trump, Mark Rubio's there too.
And really shitty podcasters. But I wouldn't know anything about that now, would I?
No. No, you wouldn't.
Anyway, moving on from that to another song full of tongue-in-cheek smug observations about stuff. So, I'm sure if you follow music in any capacity, all last year you had to hear constantly about the brilliance of the album Pure Comedy by Father John Misty. A certain Melon even called it the number one album of the year. Now, I actually did get to the whole Father John Misty discography, and look, I get it, sort of, but honestly, Pure Comedy annoyed the shit out of me. in a way that, like, his previous two albums didn't. But apparently he's got another record supposedly in the pipeline, possibly sometime later this year. And he even dropped a new song that seemed much more streamlined than the complexities of Pure Comedy. It's a song appropriately called Mr. Tillman. And this one's more of like a comedy piece written about Misty from the perspective of like a hotel staff. Like, it's a pretty simple composition, that usual kind of late, you know, singer-songwriter folk shtick. And admittingly, there are some really funny lines in here, like, you left your passport in the mini fridge. Don't leave your mattress in the rain if you slept on the balcony. Mr. Tillman, for the seventh time, we have no knowledge of a film that is being shot outside. Those aren't extras in a movie, they are our clientele. Which...
Is he drunk?
Well, I mean, in character it is. I assume he is. Again, this is the level of sarcasm we're thinking here. Like, think Johnny Cash watching a whole bunch of Adult Swim. But, you know, it at least got some laughs out of me, at least. So I guess the song does its job. And it's far less annoying than anything on Pure Comedy. So, points in his favor.
Yeah, I checked it out myself. Like, I just... fuck it, I checked it out. I was like, okay, it's... I mean, I don't know much shit about Father John Misty. I do know in that video, you may think it's a full audio, but it's like, it cut to him wandering around in a hotel with the large-ass beard and all that shit. Like, what the hell going on? I thought it was an audio-only thing.
Well, that's Misty for you.
Yeah, this is some strange shit. But I'm okay with it.
And I'm just... It's very, not my cup of tea. That's all I can say about it.
And now moving on to more, well, this time another thing that's definitely affiliated with Adult Swim, although it's not a single, not yet at least. More snarky, indie, you know, stuff, courtesy of Speedy Ortiz. Frontwoman Sadie Dupois launched her first solo album sometime last year, and now it appears the band is back together with the new album Twerpverse coming out April 27th. And so we have the lead-off single, Lucky 88, which, you know, it's sort of in the same vein as that. I mean, it tries to move, like, their sort of general garage rock sound with some sort of, with some light synths and some more click-heavy, clicky-sounding drum beats here and there. And once again, it's one of those sort of, like, romance songs that's kind of couched in Sadie's generally weird wordplay and snarky demeanor, like... I make a frown, I always wear it upside down, because life is carnage, I once was lost, but now I'm floundered, you know the whole deal by now. Admittingly, it's not the most memorable Ortiz song, but I guess it does a good enough job of like getting you, I guess, in the right mindset for whatever they're going to do on Twerpverse, although I hope there's some more lyrically interesting songs than this. Those are kind of like the only lyrics that stood out, and I suppose that answers that, and now we move on to something that Mark brought to our attention over here. My first time listening to Flatbush Zombies. Want to take things from here first?
Yeah, yes I will. So, the Flatbush Zombies, yeah, this is a group that I've been trying to get into, but I've been busy, but I've been lazy to get into it, but they released a new single for the upcoming album, Vacation in Hell, coming out April 6th, and this song is titled Headstone. Which, at the music video, the lyrics, and the stuff in Genius, like, alright, this is, like, first thought, this is definitely a grimy-ass New York banger, which, with the lyrics, it is paying homage to a lot of, you know, a lot of hip-hop artists and albums, like, you know, way back in the day, like, the thing is, like, you know, the song's called Headstone. If I was, like, you know, artists that are either dead or the music is not as popping as it was back then. As in that sense of dead, which looking like, yeah, this isn't like they do make a lot of references, like they reference songs, you know, from Biggie, from Mobb Deep. They reference people like Eazy-E, Big Pun, a lot of well known 90s hip hop rappers that had to shine back in the day. But yeah, this is this is flames. I'm liking this, and I actually want to, you know, go back to the discography before this album. I mean, I heard some of the features, which I like, but yeah.
Yep. Not really much to add. Like the flow of these guys. It's that usual, like, you know, intense, moody, low-key kind of thing. And I appreciate the various references to classic hip-hop records. And yeah, that's it. Mm. So now let's move on to an 8-minute waste of my time. Which, if I wanted to waste 8 minutes of my time, I don't know, I'd watch an episode of Robot Chicken or something. Newer Robot Chicken. But yes, we have yet another single from Ministry's upcoming album, AmeriKKKAnt, coming out March 9th. This one being a track called Twilight Zone. And, oh my god, I am so bored listening to this. It's like, you know, I want to be here for obvious political slams and everything, but if you're going to do it, at least musically, you should have some sort of energy. Like, you know, say what you will about... I'm pretty sure I'm repeating myself with what I said the last time we covered a Ministry song. Like, say what you will about Stray From The Path, you know, their last album, and especially Goodnight Alt-Right. At least that shit fucking banged. But this thing, it drags on... This slow, repetitive guitar riff and drum beat just chugging slowly for, like, 8 minutes with, like, this random cacophony of all kinds of noise from, you know, random voice samples, interpolations of, like, Trump speeches and Twilight Zone samples, DJ scratches like I'm listening to one Slipknot's first album, and this really weird, like, there's a whole bunch of harmonica in this song, and they play it like it's a guitar or something, and I'm just like, oh man, what the... Okay. And there isn't even that much in the way of, like, Jorgensen's own presence. Like, he only really has two verses. One at about 2 minutes in, and then another at about four. So, this whole time, you're just kind of like... Oh, wait. He said something? That's basically about it. I don't know if I want to waste any more bile on this.
I still feel nothing about this new Ministry stuff, but I will say I found the composition of this song to be stronger than the last teaser, but then again, that's not really saying much now, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, we're not even sure it's really saying anything.
But on the plus side, even though this comes out a week from Friday, you know what else comes out a week from Friday? BT Bam's Automata 1.
Yes, and I'll be sure to prioritize that first and foremost above everything else.
Yes, but, seconded.
Speaking of good March prog metal releases, let's move on to yet another single from the upcoming Rivers of Nihil album, Where Owls Know My Name, which comes out the week after Automata.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the second single, A Home, so I think we can form a better picture of where the album is going as a whole, and where it's going is some damn fine shiat. Once again, we're bringing in plenty of those heavy, low-end, genty guitar riffs, and, you know, in the verses and choruses, you get those really huge swelling chords, like, you know, those walls of just blaring, like, you know, guttural vocals, and especially those... very tasteful synths. Like, it's just, seriously, the synth work that you hear on this song is like textbook how you should do it if you want it to sound like, you know, that beautiful sort of happy, sad, melancholic thing that a lot of similar bands go for. It's like, I almost want to describe this as if Obscura, like, listened to some Tesseract and you found a middle ground between the two, just with all that, like, technicality, that heavy production style with just the right amount of, you know, great melancholic melodies, and, you know, especially when, like, the guitars leave breathing room for, like, the twangier parts of the riffs and everything. It's just, it's so well constructed and such a great evolution that thankfully isn't just them, like, doing what other bands could do and just repeating what they've done on previous albums. This is going to be a good one. I just know it in my bones.
I like this. The more I hear it, the more I like it. This track is definitely more extreme and grind, especially in the first half of the song and the last teaser, but it's still solidly nuanced with plenty of progressive elements, especially where it goes from, like, the main verse into this softer bridge section, complete with a heavy phaser guitar solo. I like it. I want more, please.
Well, you should listen to their previous two albums. They are good stuff. And I saw them live. They're pretty good. We should
get on that then.
Okay, so now moving on from that to... And this one was quite a pleasant surprise, at least as far as the announcement. Eason, the former frontman of Emperor, who, of course, has been doing nothing but solo material for the past decade or so, he's announced his follow-up to 2016's Arctis with a new album, AMR, with a weird accent over the A, truth be told. I'm not going to try and pronounce it, because I don't know how it's pronounced. But yes, the new Eason album coming out May 4th, and we have the lead-off single, Arcana Imperi, which the best frame of reference anyone can give, and I think the article we're citing says it better than anyone, it sounds very much like it's throwing back to his first couple of solo albums, The Adversary and Angle. The Angle comparison, of course, being appropriate, because that album featured a song with guest vocals from Mikhail Akerfeldt of Opeth, and this song features guest guitar work from Opeth guitarist Frederick Akeson. I'm probably pronouncing that even worse. But yeah, it is very much that same kind of style where it kind of bounces back and forth with, like, okay, so you have like this mystical, very kind of dark, harsh, like progressive black metal vibe, especially where the synths thrown in kind of sound like a dark carnival, like almost kind of like Yoshikage Kira's theme or something. The vocals, of course, back and forth between that grating, harsh, like just bellowing, throat shredding performance and the more clean stuff. And, you know, overall, the song's not bad in theory. The thing kind of dragging it down, though, is the production is very muddy and muted. Like, the drums have nowhere near as much punch as they should, which is weird because it sounds like they're very, like, tom-heavy in a lot of the beats. And the guitars feel weirdly kind of like they don't have that sharpness that, again, Eason's first couple of solo records did. I mean, the solo for Mackeson is pretty cool, but other than that, I feel like the production leaves a lot to be desired, but it's a decent song enough, all things told.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to give this a couple more listens to form a stronger opinion, but I'll say this guy's always been on the outside edge of my listening habits, mostly because, well, go back to my previous statements on black metal. I'm not a fan, but this track is not that. It's a good cut, more of a progressive style. So I may check this out when it comes out. I'll have to give it a couple more listens, though, just to really get a fuller viewpoint on how I feel about it.
Yeah, his solo material is definitely more eclectic than like his Emperor stuff, although I do argue that Emperor is the only black metal band that's worth a damn, and Eason is pretty much why. So, moving on from that to, of course, Adult Swim singles time. And this one, of course, has an album announcement alongside it as well. So, the singer Zola Jesus, you know, a staple of the Sacred Bones catalog, made a lot of year-end best-of lists with her album Okovi, which I actually got around to the whole of her discography a couple months ago, Okovi included. And yeah, I like what I'm hearing. I'm not sure I would put that album on my personal list if I had to revise it or anything, but, you know, I get why other people are really into it. But now she's announced a new sort of remix album called Okovi Editions, due out April 6th, which will feature four brand new songs as well as remixes of tracks from Okovi coming from the likes of Chromatics' Johnny Jewel and even two of the guys from Wolves in the Throne Room. Two guys from a black metal band are going to be remixing some Zola Jesus. Okay, then. But, of course, Adult Swim proudly premiered the first single from this edition's album called Bound. And it does seem to fall in line with, like, what she was doing on Okovi. It's this very haughty, gothic kind of dance beat to it. You know, it's got that dissonant bass synth with, like, that chromatic melody that, like, ascends and descends as it, you know, crescendos and decrescendos in the mix. You know, Zola's own vocal performance is, you know, appropriately, like, moody and haunting, you know, up against the beat. It's a really great vibe to it, and, you know, it's pretty good. I'm not sure I like it as much as the stuff on Okovi, but it works well enough as its own thing.
Oh, I want to say, yeah, I don't know much about the Zola Jesus. I mean, when I heard the song at first, I thought, this song's okay. Then I got a few moments, like, okay, I'm actually digging what she brought in here. Like, I did like the haunting, the whole gothic dance religion of it. It does have that driving force to it that I got into. So I like this.
All right, and now we move on from that to, oh my fucking god, you gotta be fucking kidding me. No. No. You're dead. I killed you. Well, okay, I didn't kill this man, but I just thought we all collectively agreed to move on and just forget that this whole thing ever happened. But I live in real life and not my own fantasy world, so I guess we have to acknowledge this. So, this past week, the world of Sini Weenies just absolutely blew up when it was announced that longtime Genericore veterans Under Oath were releasing a new album, their first since 2010's Disambiguation. Well, actually, it's just like, you know, the circle with the slash going through it, but it's called Disambiguation for some reason. Jesus Christ, fucking name schemes. But yeah, they're dropping a new album, the first one after their reunion in 2015 called Erase Me, also coming out on April 6th. And interestingly enough, this is the first album since 2008 to feature founding member, drummer and vocalist Aaron Gillespie, who for my money is one of the most overrated musicians in the scene right now. Or ever, to be honest. Seriously, I don't get his appeal. Like, he's about as good a drummer as Travis Barker is, which is to say, y'all gotta stop sucking his chode. But we have the first single from this album, a track called On My Teeth, and, you know, it starts off kind of this low, booming, like, bassy, synthy electronics, kind of an okay-ish drum ramp-up with some buzzing leads before you get into the pretty fast and furious assault of drums, screams, and some bursts of, like, you know, screeching leads and low-end guitar chords. It sounds about what you would expect from Under Oath. Maybe there's enough energy that some might give it a pass, but I don't know. I just never got the appeal of this band. Like, I always heard these guys were, like, up there with Killswitch Engage as the acceptable genericore bands, and I'm like, I don't get it. These guys are so boring. Like, I really can't think of anything else more to say about the song other than there's some okay-ish drum parts here, but overall the songwriting doesn't do shit for me. What is the appeal here? What are you people seeing in these guys? Am I the only one that sees this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. And well, that officially makes going 70 episodes before making a Zoolander reference. What a Met.
Well, seeing how I'm not a 14-year-old in Hot Topic in the year 2011, this does nothing for me. Insert Met clip from The Simpsons and Neutral Response clip from Futurama.
I have no strong feelings one way or the other.
Yes. In fact, I may include those clips. You never know. I have to actually find them first and then work my magic somehow. But yeah, let's actually move on to the last couple of songs this week, which are infinitely more interesting, at least. Mm-hmm. And this time we're talking the return of Miss Janelle Monae. She's kept herself busy in the past couple of years with her involvement in film productions such as Hidden Figures and, of course, Moonlight, the winner of the 2017 Best Picture. But now it's time for her to get back into the swing of music proper. She's announced a new album, Dirty Computer, coming out April 27th, and we have not one, but two singles to discuss here, Make Me Feel and Django Jane. I see what she did there with the second one.
Yeah.
Now, for the first one, Make Me Feel, it's all right, I suppose. It's not one of her best songs just because the composition is kind of awkward. Like, there's these mild warbling synths, and the beat is a lot of, like, mouth clicks and, like, finger snaps. Her performance is pretty good overall, but I think the beat just kind of, like, I don't know, it just sounds really corny and not in a good way. Like, not even, like, the guitar, like, passages helps, but I mean, if you can get past that, she does good stuff vocally here.
Yeah, I will say for this track, like, I get what she's going to. She's going to that. To me, I want to sound like it sounded almost like more funk, more of that funky Prince vibe I'm getting from her. I mean, like from the sound, like, it sounds almost like a Prince song mixed with with the mouth clicks and the finger snaps, which it's like something that I think might go to radio, but I don't know what goes on that nowadays. It just seems like something that would be something that would, you know, appeal to that.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. She did say that she was working on this album with Prince before he passed.
Oh yeah, okay, I didn't know that. That would have been good. Shit.
Yeah, that's been floating around the internet, like, through quotes and everything, because I guess everyone else was making the same, like, observation. And now I'm moving on to the other track, Django Jane, which is the infinitely more interesting one, like,
as
the name implies. Well, while the beat is one of those more soothing, alternative, you know, R&B type beats, the lyrics, again, sort of reinforce the idea of the song as, you know, about, like, basically female empowerment. And, of course, lyrically, it's way more interesting. The performance is more of a rap style with plenty of lyrical allusions to, you know, things like pop culture. Like, for example, like, Mama was a G, she was cleaning hotels. Papa was a driver, I was working retail. Kept us in the back of the store, we ain't hiding no more. Moonlit, word I can't say because I'm white. Lit, word I can't say because I'm white. And then following that, there's like, already got an Oscar for the Casa, running down Grammys with the family, probably give a Tony to the homies, probably get an Emmy dedicated to the highly melanated Arc Android orchestrated. So right off the bat, just in those first few lines in that first verse, you're already getting much better lyrics, you know, really clever insight about, like, how she's going to become, like, the next EGOT because of, you know, her involvement in these high-profile productions like Moonlight and Hidden Figures. And, of course, that really great thing about, like, how she's not, you know, hiding anymore with that obvious illusion of back of the store, in case you can't piece together what that means. Also, there's Transformers references in here, and I always appreciate a good Transformers reference.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely the better song out of those two. Like, this is one more interesting from, like, from production, from her lyrics, from how, you know, how she basically do a rap, and this definitely black girl magic working right here. Mm-hmm. I know a little about her music, like, as now, like, I know she runs her own label called Wonderland, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And yeah, and I'm like, this is some good shit. I love this. Like, I listened to this one more times than the other one, to be honest.
Same here, man. Same here. Just gives you more to digest. But, you know, it's Janelle. She's a woman of many complex layers. And I'm sure that, you know, Dirty Computer as a whole will be another really interesting project from her. It'll probably be, you know, the R&B project that gets all the hype and ends up with all the year-end best of the list. That's just how these things work.
It might happen. I mean, if I listen to it and I'm liking it, it might be on my list.
Yep. But that just about, you know, closes off the new song discussion for the week. Gonna take a quick break, and so when we come back, we're gonna have some news topics to discuss. A few, but I think we'll get some good material out of it. So see you in a bit. And we're back. So for the first of our four news topics, we're still waiting on a new album from Flying Lotus already, goddammit. Or Captain Murphy.
Pretty much.
Come on, man. I get you're busy with a lot of projects, but we need that material. Like, I get you're all Hollywood famous now because you released the grossest movie of 2017, which I still haven't watched. I gotta find some time to sign up for Shudder, and Actually, that isn't that included with Verve?
I think so.
I believe it is.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know a lot of people that see. I know a lot of people that saw the movie. They were kind of grossed out by the shit, but yeah, man. I still need to get on that.
But yep, that's part of Verve.
Ah, cool. So I gotta make a note of that for later. But it seems like Flying Lotus is not done yet with contributing to film projects. His latest is a project that's actually going to be premiering at South by Southwest sometime, I think in March. Yeah, it's usually in March. It's a film called Perfect, directed by a guy named Eddie Alcazar, and apparently it's being presented by longtime film director Steven Soderbergh. You've probably seen shit he's done before. Hell, I think he did Magic Mike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the first one. He did that, and I think the Ocean's 11 movies.
I remember another movie he did. But wait, why was Magic Mike the first thing that came to mind? Anyway. So yes, the movie is apparently also a production of Brain Feeder Films, and Flying Lotus, on top of providing the music, is also credited as an executive producer. The premise is, at least according to an excerpt from the article here, is about a boy who gets, quote, seduced by advertisements of perfection to install implantable characteristics directly into his body. So, I assume it's going to be one of those things where it's like, body modification is wrong and evil because Terminator, or, you know, societal expectations of, you know, physical perfection and all that, which would be at least better, because, you know, truth be told, I kind of want to implant this robot shit in my body, too. Because let's be honest, with all the soda I drink, these teeth are going to be gone by the time I'm, like, in my mid-30s, so I'm going to want some fucking, like, you know, big shinies that, I don't know, can probably, like, laser cut through, like, raw food or something. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I... Yeah, whatever. That's all the information we have, and also the poster, which shows this kind of, you know, synth-wavy looking picture of a person where the eyes are like all blurred out and everything, and it looks like I'm looking at a different movie poster while drunk.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, it's set to premiere at South by Southwest this year, which I'm guessing that might get some applause because I think they always clap at shit they like.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's basically because, like, oh, look, we're at a festival. We get to see cool things that the rest of the world doesn't. We got to watch Rapper Warrior Ninja before that shit broadcast on TV.
Oh, and you see on Instagram that Santa coming soon, which could that be something of a Flying Lotus album or the least music he made this year?
I don't know, but we'll just have to wait and see. And now, moving on to one of the weirdest and wildest stories that's probably going to happen all year. Not as crazy as Fyre Festival, but you just kind of have to turn your head and read when you're reading this. And I think Stereo Gum's, the headline of the Stereo Gum article put it best. Someone seriously booked an all-ska punk festival in 2018.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, all right, so I'm trying to read the credits here because it kind of looks blurry on the poster here, but apparently these two guys named Travis and Feldy, I guess that's probably a production company, present Back to the Beach, taking place in Huntington State Beach, California, because where else, April 28th and 29th, 2018, and it's obviously a two-day lineup, so... Let's talk about the lineup for Saturday. As follows, in order, from top build to less top build. 311. The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. The Aquabats. Which, they're fun. I like them and the funny, goofy things they do in videos. Hepcat. Less Than Jake. Mad Caddies. The Suicide Machines. Big D and the Kids Table. And more.
Okay, and more.
And more. My favorite. And then the Sunday lineup. Alex, you want to cover this one?
Sure. And who else but the bane of my existence, Sublime.
With Rome.
Whoever Rome is, yeah. It's just... I've never gotten the appeal of Sublime, like, at all. Like, hooray! You have made the perfect white people music.
I'm high.
Oh my god. And you know how white people dance. It's not graceful.
No, it's not.
Moving on down here, we have a bunch of bands I'm unfamiliar with, but I'll listen anyway. We have Goldfinger featuring Travis Barker. We have Fishbone, which this poster says, original lineup.
Yay.
We have Save Ferris, The Interrupters, Mustard Plug, The Agrolites, The Untouchables, and once again, and more.
You look at the and more, and it feels like a weird punchline. Like, how many, isn't this like every ska band ever? Like, I mean, maybe a No Doubt reunion playing, like, I don't know, whatever the hell is that one album that everyone loves from them so much for some reason?
This feels like a money laundering scheme, if you ask me.
The only way it could be any more 90s would be, or rather early 2000s, would be if there was an asterisk that says, featuring a special appearance by the English dubcast of the Digimon movie.
Oh.
With a performance by the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Who's your daddy? Yes, I am. I don't know why I did that on instinct. But I
don't know why either.
Here's the thing. I've actually seen two of these bands live. I saw Less Than Jake, believe it or not, however many years ago at Florida Supercon, back when Florida Supercon actually bothered to book musical guests. And Big D at the kids' table when I was visiting my friends up in New York, and we all went up to, like, that was actually my first Warped Tour, and I ended up meeting them over at the pit for, like, some Big D in the kids' table. They have a song called My Girlfriend's on Drugs, and it makes me laugh. Well, I mean the song, not, like, the concept of, like, having a girlfriend who actually is on drugs, because, still single. Still single. But, yeah. Seriously, fuck Sublime.
Yeah, agreed.
And Rome, for the record, is basically not Bradley Noel, who is now dead for however long. I don't fucking know. I don't keep track with the ska shit. But anyway, let's move on to a festival lineup that's much, much heavier and actually fairly interesting. This would be, I believe it's the third or fourth iteration of Psycho Las Vegas, taking place August 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in, where else? Las Vegas. So, yeah, looking at this poster already, it's kind of pretty stacked. Granted, okay, so it's the first act you see on the bill is Dimmu Borgir, you know, that symphonic, like, death metal band, I think. I only listened to them a couple times, like, a really long while ago, and yeah, I know they released a new song this past week, but I didn't cover it, because I don't know, who cares? But the rest of this lineup is actually fairly impressive. I mean, it's not sorted into days or anything yet, but what we get in the rest of the lineup, we get guys like Witchcraft, Sun-O, Godflesh, Enslaved, High on Fire, American Nightmare, CKY,
yeah,
Red Fang, Rocket from the Crypt, Goblin, Boris, Venom Inc., I Hate God, Zach Sabbath, Pallbearer, Integrity, With the Dead, Church of Misery, Japan's Greatest Black Sabbath Knockoff, Voivod, Coven, Lucifer, Survive, yes, that's Survive.
Oh.
Dope Throne, Helm's Ailey, who are pretty damn good, Big Business, a concept that I am very much opposed to, Mono Lord, Today is the Day, Mutoid Man, Indian, Unearthly Trance, Batushka, All Pigs Must Die, Acid Witch, Spirit Adrift, Primitive Man, Worm Witch, Cloak, Magic Sword, Wolfhammer, Necrot, Homewrecker, Brain Tentacles, Ghastly Sound, Dreadnought, forming the Void, Black Mare, Temple of Void, and I don't know if there's going to be any expansions to that lineup, so we'll just assume there were a couple others I didn't read
will
there.
There probably will be, you never know.
There will also be Disc Jockeys, Andrew W.K., Nick Anderson of Entombed and the Helicopters, and Johanna Sedonis of Lucifer. There will also be a Paradise Pool pre-party the day before the festival, which features the likes of Fireball Ministry, Young and In the Way. Wait, isn't that the band that, like, broke up today?
Looking it up now, and yes.
Ah, so I was right. Quink. Those bastards. They're probably not playing this now.
Young and In the Way disband after accusations of sexual assault surface. Band denies any wrongdoing.
But yet they're breaking up anyway.
That's a good sign.
Seems like there's something up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other pool party pre-bands, there's also Elder, who, if you haven't heard Reflections of a Floating World, it's a damn good album and one of the best metal albums of last year. I can't believe I didn't get around to it until after I formed my list. And also Wolves in the Throne Room, who are a band that exists. Hey, anybody want to hook me up with a room here? If anyone's listening, like, for coverage reasons? I mean, you can see my email down there, you know, just throwing that out there. But yeah, this is a damn great metal festival lineup. This is the kind of shit I really, like, no joke, want to go to. And then maybe, you know, lose all my money at the craps tables.
Yeah. It's like Falcon, but with gambling.
Indeed. And now, moving on to the last story of the week here. Following up on something that was teased last week. So, Mr. Brendan Small has finally premiered the teaser live-action video project, which is actually a long-form music video for the song Nightmare, which you might remember being, you know, from Galacticon 2, the kind of really moody-sounding one. The one where he's almost kind of singing like he's Corey Taylor or something. But yeah, this video comes to us courtesy of all sources, Funny or Die, which I guess kind of makes sense, but still, that's kind of weird that they would care about Brendan Small and his project.
Yeah. 2 million subscribers and only 20,000 people saw it. Thank you, YouTube. You know how to promote stuff.
Ah, you bastards. Give Brendan Small his views already. Like, all you bastards who are like, where's the new Metalocalypse? Couldn't turn out to watch this stuff? What is wrong with you people? But yeah, it's a pretty straightforward short film. I mean, of course, the visuals are kind of trippy as fuck. But, I mean, as far as, like, there's only a small cast. Like, you have Triton, you know, the lead character of this whole story, played by David Dastmalchian. The evil space queen, played by Huntress front woman Jill Janis, and then a couple of guards, played by people I don't give a shit about. And, you know, the video setup is pretty straightforward. You have Triton, you know, coming across a giant warship in his own, you know, spacecraft, the one you see on the cover of, you know, like in the artwork for Galacticon 2. Hell, I'm pretty sure it was in a patch that came with the physical release of the album. Yeah. He gets captured. Then strapped to a chair where the evil space queen grabs her electrical whip and then starts choking him to death. And while he's, you know, on his death throes and everything, he has a nightmare where he talks to giant CG whales that look like Sin from Final Fantasy X. Except there's no stupid blue hair antlers anywhere in sight, and thank God for that. Seriously, fucking JRPG here, man, but whatever, you were saying?
How do you not know who Steve Agee is?
Am I supposed to?
Or Steve AG, I'm sorry. Yeah, don't you remember the Sarah Silverman program?
One of the guys that's
What's the opposite of name dropping?
One of the guys that was in Guardians 2.
Again, yeah, you're going to have to be more specific. There were lots
of people. Okay, one of the guys assumed that's not Brian Posehn.
Oh, the gay guy?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, he was one of the guards.
Okay, then.
And he was Jeff in Guardians 2. I mean, he's not Brian Posehn, so who cares? Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, you know, of course, gets out from the dream, fucking fights back, blows up parts of the ships, and then he goes back on his own ship to do whatever it is that Tritons do.
Mm-hmm. This seems like a really great teaser for a movie that we'll never get, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, you never know. Maybe more people will watch, you better, and then Funny or Die might fund additional installments. Like, I see this as being one of those things that gets expanded into, like, maybe a short film series once, you know, they get the time to, you know, get everyone together and everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm always into, as some would say, multimedia expansion of, you know, big, grand, epic albums like this. I'd be into, you know, any more stuff that would come from the whole Galacticon stuff. That reminds me, I should really get into those comics. But as far as, you know, short-form video goes, sure. More short films, music videos, maybe expand into, like, a longer thing, like maybe a little mini-movie, maybe. People give them money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm digging this. Like, it's got some really cool, I mean, obviously, it's kind of a bit on the low-end side, but even for low-end, it's got some pretty, you know, cool-looking production design. Like, the actual Triton suit looks, you know, pretty cool. And it's kind of, you know, even weird and trippy when it goes into, like, the surreal, almost kind of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure-looking color schemes with, like, all those weird neon colors and just, like, how he moves across, like, those backgrounds when he's, like, you know, just running and it looks like he's going at it from, like, a weird perspective.
Well, I'm sure the low-end stuff was all by design, you know?
Yes, obviously. I am aware of this, sir. But yeah, here's hoping for, you know, expansions of the actual experience, and maybe we can finally figure out what exactly the fuck the narrative of Galacticon 2 was supposed to be. Because I still have no idea.
Neither do I.
And so that covers all the news topics, so now we just gotta take care of the new album releases for March 2nd, 2018. Starting from the top, we have the newest album from mathcore band Rollo Tomasi with Time Will Die and Love Will Bury It. We got a new album from Moby with Everything Was Beautiful and Nothing Hurt. We have the, what I'm pretty sure is the debut full length from recent prison convict, Young Boy Never Broke In, Until Death May Call My Name, which sounds more like a death metal release than anything else. We got a new Tech N9ne project called Planet. New album from Tory Lanez called Memories Don't Die. A new project from Titus Andronicus called A Productive Cough. And, of course, the grand majestic return of party god Andrew WK with You're Not Alone. Party!
Woo!
And, of course, now is the part where we clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Same place as always. Aura of Azure. Everywhere on the... Oh, sorry, I was thinking of Hellshake Yano again.
But yeah, you know the whole drill. If you're watching this on YouTube, it's probably on the screen right now. So, Mark, what about you?
Of course, on Twitter, MacGyver Media, and on my site, the Mind Hobby One at happyone.wordpress.com. Also, hey, got a story debuting. Well, by the time you listen to this, it already debuted. I'm going to do like the weekly shit every Tuesday. New story called J-Sap.
Only on Tuesdays?
Boy.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a surreal resolution thing. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and other social medias at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com. Questions, comments, concerns, inquiries, and offers and all that stuff will be accepted, but no Final Fantasy VII fan fiction. Anyway, you can subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution, which you can, you know, find by searching Surreal Resolution on YouTube. Subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new episodes go up there. Be sure to follow us, you know, surrealresolution.com. Follow us on Twitter @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. And, you know, find the podcast on decibelboost.sreresolution.com, where you can always find all our past episodes. And, of course, be sure to listen to Podcast ONA as well. I'm sure there will be plenty of salt at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards and that bullshit Full Metal Alchemist movie.
Oh, yes, there will be.
And, you know, be sure to keep up with our written content. I'm hoping I can get an album review. Maybe not this week, but definitely sometime by the weekend, I suppose. Like, I'm really looking to get in on that Andrew W.K. shit, because that is going to be hype, son. Of course, be sure to jump into a Discord chat with us, because we always have engaging discussions about the validity of Uber Eats as a delivery option for fast food. Shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Anyway, thank you for joining us for episode 70 of the podcast. We'll, of course, be back next week as always. And, of course, there will be a new album roundup, because it's just about that time, and we'll get that out sometime next week. You know, once we actually do the recording after the main episode and whatnot. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And until next time, seriously, that movie was fucking bullshit. Why are the wigs fake as hell? What the fuck happened?
Why is Winry not blonde?